Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The ability to experience childbirth with ease, control, and effectiveness is possible by using the Alexander Technique. I'm Eileen Trobeman, and I've been teaching this effective technique for more than 30 years. This is Preggy Pals, episode 36.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself!
I'm pregnant! And I have to exercise?
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit!
I've got kinkles!
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms, and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way. Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I am your host, Sunny Galt. Are you a member of the Preggy Pals Club? Our members have access to all of our archived episodes, plus bonus material after every new show, and special giveaways and discounts. All right, let's meet our panelists. Let's start here in the studio with Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Saufeld. I'm 29. I am a gemologist due January 9th with my first baby, a baby girl, and we're having hospital birth.
Yay, Elisa.
Hi, I'm Elisa Suter. I'm 32. I'm a wedding planner. I'm due April 12th with my first baby girl, and we are planning to have an unmedicated, hopefully, hospital birth.
Okay, and joining us over the phone is Michelle Fari. Michelle is from Massachusetts, and she's one of our listeners. Welcome, Michelle.
Thanks, Sunny. I'm so happy to be here today. I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm 34, and I design wigs for women and children with cancer and alopecia, and I'm a creative director for a wig education website, wigidu.com, and I'm due the end of January with a little boy, and I have one son that will be almost 10 years old who plans to be at our delivery, and we want to have a natural hospital birth. If all goes well, I do have some health issues, so I hope my doctors stay on board with me.
Oh, okay. So tell us a little bit about how this pregnancy is going for you, because you said it's your second child, and you are having a little boy, so you've been through this before, pregnancy, so how's it going?
I really have to say, I felt terrific. It's been amazing. This guy's really active, so I never feel lonely because I spend a lot of time commuting in the car and going to my office. And my son is just so ecstatic. So it's a whole different experience with an older child, getting to go through all the paces with him and organize his room. And it's an awesome way to experience pregnancy with your first child being older like this.
Right. I know a lot of people look at me like I'm crazy because I had two under two. And they're like, really? Wow. And so many times, you know, it's like, you know, you could take it, you know, either way. You know, you have a lot of time in between them. You know, there's pros and cons, I guess, with both. But I guess whatever you get, you make do with, right?
It's true. You know, you get it from both ways. A lot of people tell me, oh, they're so far apart. But you know what? I wouldn't know it any other way. So
yeah.
I'm more power to the mommies with the young ones at home together. I know they've got it rougher.
Well, you've got a little helper. I mean, even my two-year-old likes to help me with the baby. But I would think, you know, at 10, unless he's like in the mood where he doesn't even want to, you know, at 10, do they not even want to be with their parents anymore? I'm not sure what age that kicks in.
I tell you, it depends on the day, but we're pretty fortunate. We're a pretty close family. So if anything, we're going to have to really make sure that he doesn't feel that he's losing the focus when his baby comes.
Right.
So. Same difference, more years apart.
right, I figured. Okay, well, thank you, ladies, for joining us. We'll be right back. Before we start today's show, here's Dr. Danny Singley with tips on becoming a new dad.
Hi, Preggy Pals. My name is Dr. Daniel Singley. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist specializing in men's issues and founder of Basic Training for New Dads. Although it's not commonly discussed in popular media, new dads often experience symptoms of postpartum depression. So let's take a few minutes to take a look at how it occurs and what to do about it. One in 10 dads suffer from postpartum depression, meaning that 10% of fathers become depressed at some point between their partner's first trimester and the first year after delivery. Men with depressed partners are even more likely to become depressed, so it's critically important that moms with PPD are aware that their partners have an elevated risk as well. Similarly, women and men with a history of psychiatric issues, including depression or anxiety, are at elevated risk for postpartum issues, so you need to be proactive if you and/or your partner have a relevant psychiatric history. A key to understanding this phenomenon is that, in general, men tend to express emotions differently than women. Rather than tears or obvious expressions of sadness or loss, the most common symptoms of paternal postpartum depression include anger, substance abuse, withdrawal, social isolation, or things like not taking joy in activities. Men's symptoms tend to manifest more gradually during the third trimester and then into the year following birth, as opposed to immediately after the birth, more common for women. So the ways and the time frames which men experience postpartum depression have both contributed to limited awareness about it. So what's the big deal about paternal postpartum depression? Well, it's related to a host of negative outcomes, including insecure attachment, children's emotional problems, child behavioral issues, parental conflict, decreased parental support, and of course, lower relationship satisfaction. Moms and dads need to be aware that postpartum issues are very much a men's issue, but that the prospect of seeking help tends to be very difficult for men because we aren't socialized to deal with our feelings or to readily accept help until we're at the breaking point. So moms share the parenting roles as much as possible with dad as soon as possible to decrease jealousy, isolation, and concerns about bonding. It's also very important for dads to get support from their partners, as well as to be encouraged to get support outside the relationship. Both mom and dad need me time to recharge. Also, consider getting counseling therapy, as well as a psychiatric medication evaluation. Thanks very much for listening, and I hope this information has been helpful. I'm Dr. Daniel Singley at newdadsclass.com, and be sure to keep listening to Preggy Pals for more tips on how new dads can make the most of their journey into new fatherhood.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Today, we're continuing our series on childbirth preparation methods. The Alexander technique may be a new concept for many of our moms-to-be, but the practice has been around for a long time. Eileen Troberman is an internationally recognized teacher of the Alexander technique. Her practice is right here in the San Diego area. Eileen, welcome to Preggy Pals.
Thank you, Sunny.
I feel like you're so accomplished, Eileen. I go to your website and you studied under the Dalai Lama. You've done all these amazing things that I'm just like, oh, Eileen, oh, Eileen.
Well, I would say in the Alexander technique, in the field of movement education and movement awareness, I've been studying it a long time.
And what is your background? Because it said on your website that you came to the Alexander technique through, was it acrobatics?
Well, actually, through acting.
Through acting,
yes,
okay.
When I was younger.
Okay.
I haven't done it since.
So how long, you've been teaching for over 30 years?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. So you know this technique pretty well, huh?
Yes, I started studying it in 1978.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so let's just dive into this. So what is the Alexander technique? How would you explain it to someone who's never heard of it before?
Well, we all have ways that we call it using our bodies, ways we hold our bodies and we don't even realize it. It seems like it's just us. You know, some people pull their shoulders in and up, some people slump a little, some people hold themselves up and stiffen. There's all kinds of different patterns, and then there's patterns we use to get into movement. A lot of times, if we're just going to get out of a chair, we'll tighten our neck and compress our head and body just to stand up. So there's these habits of movement that we do, and then there's habits that just stay in our body because we're so used to them. Mm-hmm. And we carry those around, and those are all pressure and tension on our joints and pressure and tightness in our muscles. And we don't realize we're doing them, so we don't have as much ease in our muscles and freedom in our joints. And we also feel a lot of stress all the time with these habits, and they become our bottom line, our level that we're used to. So in the Alexander technique, what you learn to do is you learn to undo those. You learn a way you yourself can recognize them, troubleshoot them, and undo them, so your normal level, your bottom line, becomes much easier, much lighter, much freer. Your stress level is easier.
Yeah. And we mentioned, I think, in the intro that, some of our pregnant moms may have never heard of this, because when we think of the standard, childbirth preparation methods, the Alexander technique isn't always mentioned, but it's something that, it doesn't matter if you're pregnant. It's something that people can continually use. So who primarily benefits from this? I know we all can, but who are the primary people that are using this?
Most people come to it because of some kind of discomfort. Some back pain, neck pain, shoulder tightness, a lot of stress in their lives, poor posture, carpal tunnel, hip pain. People come to it for that reason quite often. And also performers, musicians come to it too. Once they learn to play their instrument, then it's up to how they can coordinate their body very easily and proficiently in terms of how well they play.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I saw something on your website.
And again, also, it's required at all the great acting schools around the world.
Really?
Yeah.
And so what I was saying is I saw on our website that Cirque du Soleil is one of the... Now, have you taught them?
I have, yes.
That's amazing to me. I was just like... Because I view Cirque du Soleil as just like, hey, if I can get into the positions that Cirque du Soleil can, I could push this baby out. You know what I mean? So, hey, if it's working for them, then maybe we should all kind of take a second look, right?
Well, they're pretty flexible, and they're great athletes to start with.
Right.
But this particular knowledge, once you learn it, it's so practical and obvious, but it's something that really people don't know yet. So it helps anyone, whether they're an incredible performer and really skilled in how they use their body, or if they're just an everyday average person. So,
wow.
And anyone, it can make them feel lighter and easier, freer.
Right. So maybe it goes without saying, but how can we apply this to labor and delivery?
So first of all, even in if I can address now applying it just to carrying the baby, to pregnancy.
Sure.
So you see a lot of expectant mothers, and often they're standing with their lower back arched and pushed forward and their spine compressed, and it's just very uncomfortable to stand around. They get back pain.
Both the panelists here in the studio are adjusting their posture. Probably Michelle too.
Or slumping a little forward at like bottom bra strap line, that kind of dropping over from there too. So it really affects how you can carry the baby. And it's wonderful to do that with lightness and ease, lightness in your hips. It's great for the baby. Mm-hmm. It works with your breathing and the ease of your breathing. So the baby's getting this nice kind of massage motion with the freedom of your breathing. So it's really useful for how you carry the baby, how you move. And I'm going to get to labor and delivery, but actually it's very useful for after, when you have the baby, for what you do with nursing, so you don't get a lot of neck strain and back strain with nursing, upper back strain. It's wonderful for the children because they're going to imitate you and how you use your body as they grow up.
Oh, I know that. I've got a 2-year-old that tries to imitate everything I do. Yeah.
So you can really start them on good habits that way. So, and as far as labor and delivery, so it's one of the ways it's very useful in labor and delivery is that it helps you have a certain ease even under that stress. Even with all that pain, it helps you have a way to let the pain disperse through your whole body, so you're not kind of holding and trying to contain it. So it's actually less, it moves out, and then you get the next wave and it moves out. But it also helps with, as you learn it before that, it helps with learning to widen with your hips very naturally, learning to have that ease and not tighten against it. There's an exercise we'll do for the members at the end called a whispered awe, which is really useful for delivery.
Okay.
And for labor. It also actually, and I don't know if this is a coincidence, but twice I've worked with women with breech babies, and I've actually help the baby turn around, not by the traditional way, which often they're just pushed by the head. They're
right.
Kind of pushed the shortest direction down and around, and usually that compresses their head into their spine, which is just, as you probably learned as we talk, that's kind of the opposite of natural movement.
Mm-hmm.
And the babies are wired so much for natural movement.
Right.
We all are, really. We just got it kind of covered up a bit, but but the babies are so wired for that. And so so just by a very, very slight, not a push at all, not even any pressure, a slight direction, a suggestion of a release of the baby's head a little bit away from the top of its spine so that its whole body follows that. And twice the babies have turned around the next evening or so, just gone all the way up around and over following their head, letting their bodies follow their head, which is the natural way they're wired to move anyway. So
right.
I don't know if those were coincidences or, who knows. But
Well, when your baby's turned around, I think you'll do anything to try to, get it in the right position. So yeah, for sure. So are we primarily talking about breathing when it comes to the Alexander technique?
No. But that, we talk about that,
okay.
But really it's a lot about just how to recognize what you're doing with your body. It's okay. Like when the refrigerator's on or something and you hear it turn on and then you don't hear it
anymore.
Yeah,
you tune it out. Yeah.
Our nervous system just recognizes difference. Hi, Michelle?
Hi, yes. I had a question just on what you're just saying. I've read a little bit about this technique and I think it's amazing. So is it kind of like you're triggering your self-awareness and then adjusting yourself to how you should be properly aligned? Is that kind of along the line?
Yes, that's right, Michelle, but it's not really the traditional sense of adjusting yourself to how you should be aligned. It does come out that way, but all of us kind of grow up with an idea of correcting our posture by overlaying some extra muscle effort to hold us in a better position, to kind of sit up straight. So we're actually still doing the pulling down and the tightening and compressing, and then we add some pulls in another direction with another layer of muscles to supposedly correct that, and visually it looks a little better, but you've actually added a whole other layer of tension with muscles that you actually need for your breathing and your movement that should be free, not for posture.
My mom would always like whack me in the middle of the back
terrible.
And like make me stand up straight and shoulders back and boobs out. And
so really she was just putting another layer of everything on top of it.
Mom.
Yeah.
Doing it all wrong.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised, shoulders back is really not the way to go.
Yeah.
They're not going to slump forward either. They're just going to release out and widen.
Right.
And
okay, so if we end up using the Alexander technique during, let's just say, labor and delivery, what results can we expect? I mean, are we talking about a pain-free labor? What has been your experience? Because that's what we want, right? Let's just be real.
We want magic.
We want magic to happen. But what can women expect? I guess.
I don't know that you can get a pain-free labor.
Oh, darn. Darn. Okay.
But you can have a much easier time with it. And
okay.
You can have, you're not fighting against it. You understand what's happening with your body. You're really able to tune in to different aspects and really let things release. And you're able to relax through it, to really be calm through it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a method that you're able to use to gain that calmness. And so, whereas often, moms would just kind of tighten up a whole lot during the intense cramping.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way you can actually learn to release through that. And then it just moves through you much more freely because even though it's one part cramping up, everything coordinates with it. So you're getting that whole coordination to ease with it.
Okay.
So it won't be, there's still labor pains, but it makes it much easier and the delivery's easier.
Uh-huh.
You're just not fighting against it and tightening. You understand how to release.
Right.
You know, you've got that mental ability and that awareness of your body, so you can just do that.
Yeah.
So can this technique be used with other childbirth methods?
Sure. Yeah. Anything. It can be used with anything. It's just really, it's so basic to everything. It's how you use your body when you're doing anything else.
I just love that you can continue to use. I mean, I feel like there's so much buildup, and we take these childbirth classes to learn how to give birth. You know what I mean? And then the birth is over, and you're like, wow. I mean, maybe it worked. Okay. But I love that you can apply this in so many different ways. I don't hear about people doing hypnobirthing or, the Bradley method outside of childbirth. So I like when things can be repurposed. And I feel like I'm really getting my money out of something.
You would use this all your life,
Your
life, on into old age to improve how you move, to improve your lightness and ease, even when you think you're just perfect and easy and light. You'll get lighter and easier. It's amazing. Right. It's a fascinating sense, an ability that we have that we don't know about and we don't use.
Right. Now, have there been studies to show how this has impacted, like, the medical condition of somebody, like, over time? You know, what kind of changes could we expect if we use this throughout our lives, you know?
There haven't been too many studies of over time in terms of in terms of medical studies, except for one. There was a very large back pain study done in Britain, and it was published in the British Medical Journal, I think, in August 2008, maybe, a couple of years ago, maybe 2010.
Okay.
And it showed that the Alexander technique was the most effective method for treating back pain, both long-term and both cost-efficient-wise. So that was a really good thing. There's been some other studies, but they're very specific to, there was a study of doctors doing that microsurgery or whatever it's called, doing surgery, and not only did they have less back pain, but their surgery was more accurate.
Okay.
So, but what through just through observation, through many people that have studied this over the years, what you can expect is that you use your body well on into old age. So you learn to use your body in a way that you don't tend to get back pain, shoulder pain, tension, stress. You learn to use your body so that you move elegantly with grace. Just not on purpose, but it just comes out of this.
Right.
That you have a nice ease of movement. And there are many ways that affects things. It's even interactions with people. If you learn to have that ease, other people pick that up because we imitate each other.
There's these things
called mirror neurons they found in our brain that actually do the imitation. Everyone has that. And so people end up imitating you because you have more ease. You have a very clear concept of how to use your body. And so it's a very nice thing just to do for people.
Yeah.
But it feels very light. It has a kind of a hallmark sense of effortlessness and kind of floating and ease. When you're very strong, you have a lot of power and strength because your muscles aren't being used for posture.
Uh-huh.
But you feel like you're just completely effortless. You kind of float.
Like you're weightless.
Yeah. Because the bones take the weight and they don't report weight.
Oh.
It's when we feel the stress on our joints, the pressure, the tightening, and the extra work of our muscles that we feel weight.
So what is needed to be successful, would you say, at the Alexander technique? I mean, are there certain people that are better suited for it than others? Just on their own personalities or something. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, tell you, I was a very slow learner. You know, I suppose I probably have one of the worst personalities for it, but I turned out all right. there are people that pick it up more quickly. There are people like me that are slower, maybe none as slow as I was. And I was very slow because even though I was told during these lessons, it's not a position. You don't put yourself in a position. You don't look for the feeling of, oh, is in my head in the right place, or does this feel the right way? I was told this throughout my Alexander lessons, particularly in the beginning, all the time. And yet I thought, well, maybe other people can just release their body up. But me, I'm going to need to find the better position. And, you know, if I could just remember what it felt like, I could do that again. So I was trying to feel it out and use my muscles. I was putting in muscle effort to do it, even though I knew that was not the thing to do. So if somebody is actually can just switch their mind and just decide, no, I'm not going to put in any muscle effort. I'll just have a thought of this. They can do it pretty easily. I was just really stubborn.
But like you said, it turned out well for you.
Yes.
You now teach the technique. Okay, well, when we come back, we're going to learn what to expect should you decide to study the Alexander technique. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Today we are talking about childbirth preparation methods. This is one of the episodes in our series, and we're focusing today on the Alexander technique. So Eileen Troberman is our special guest today. She is an instructor of the Alexander technique. Eileen, let's talk more about the classes. You've been teaching for over 30 years now, these classes. At what point, since we're talking to pregnant women, at what point in a pregnancy would you recommend someone to start taking these classes? Because I know you can use it throughout pregnancy. So maybe that's, you know, the moment you find out you're pregnant, this would be a good time. But then this technique is a little different because you can use it throughout life. So what would be your recommendation there?
I would say starting as soon as possible,
okay,
whenever that is. It really is useful to just start as soon as possible so you have more tools throughout your pregnancy.
Right.
I mean, it's fine to start anytime. I've had people start in the 8th month. That's a little late, but they've had success with it. But it really is useful to start early on when you first find you're pregnant.
Well, let's assume that someone wants to use it, at least initially, for labor and delivery. How long would you recommend that they take the class in order to properly prepare themselves for that experience?
And again, this would be actually as soon as possible. The okay. longer that you have experience with it, the more experience with it, the more ease you'll have in your body.
Okay.
These are undoing habits, and you'll undo a layer of habit, and you know, and that'll feel great and easy.
Right.
And then there's another layer.
Right.
And then there's another one. And so you just get so much better at doing it, and especially in an emergency or a stressful kind of situation
right.
where you just really need to know it well to draw on it.
Okay.
It's really useful to have as much experience as possible.
Okay.
There's no set, you know, this many times or but the sooner the better.
But you said for 8 months that would probably be cutting it too close. So, I mean, is there a cutoff time that you would say, you want to at least give yourself X amount of time?
I think even having one lesson in it is useful. So, you know, in
really?
8 months. But it's so much better if you can have more. And one lesson, in a way, could do it. But people don't tend to really follow the instructions.
It needs to set in a little bit.
Yeah, people sort of get an idea and take shortcuts like I did when I was telling you about it, you know. And so maybe it's a little better, but it's not really the ease that it could be.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about what people will experience in a class. So do people come in at various levels, or are there specific start days? How does that work, since this is an ongoing training process?
Well, it's private lessons.
It is private.
I can do group classes, and I've done that, but it's very useful to have private lessons because you get all the individual time yourself, and you get your particular habits undone, and then that guidance of, oh, wait, you're doing it this way. You actually should do it this way. So people come in, and right away we start working with helping them have more ease in their walking and standing and bending and just their understanding of how their body's put together, just their kind of map of their body. We were talking earlier about shoulders and arms. When we move our arms, a lot of times we end up tightening our shoulders to do it, and we kind of tighten our shoulders up into our neck. And we don't even realize, if you ask them where they think their arms attached to their body by a joint. You know, if you ask someone to point, where is your arm attached to the main part of your trunk by a joint, either your ribs, spine, or head? And people will point way out at their shoulder, at the end of their shoulder. But really, it's right there at our breastbone, at our sternum. It's right there, that one little joint. That's the only place our arm's attached by a joint. So there's a nice free movement once you understand that, of how you use your arms. So there's all kinds of things like that that you learn to map out in your body so that you immediately move more easily, because you have a much clearer idea of how your body's put together.
Sure.
And so so we do that. There's a time that's done as a lying down part of the session. That's everyone's favorite time, usually.
Does anyone fall asleep?
They kind of, sometimes they'll drift off into kind of what I call the twilight zone, so sort of a dream state, because it feels really relaxing. So
yeah.
it feels even better than a massage, but you're actually learning things. You're learning what you can do on your own.
Okay.
And you end up feeling light and easy after the session. And so that's pretty much what a private lesson is like, and it individualizes just what you need to learn. So if somebody comes in and they're really because of the pregnancy, they're really dropping back. I mean, people tend to stand that way sometimes, pregnant or not.
Right.
But with the pregnancy, especially, you know, with the relaxing of the ligaments, mm-hmm. it's so important to learn this during pregnancy, because it can affect you afterwards and how your joints are.
Right.
You know, if you're putting all that pressure on and using your body poorly, and then afterwards you've got joints that just don't quite, you know, they're not quite like they were before.
Sure.
So this way they can actually even end up better, which is a good thing.
So for pregnant women, would you recommend that they have a partner come in with them who might be part of the birthing process?
No, that's not necessary. It's not, somebody's not going to be doing stuff to them or with them during that.
I mean, I was wondering, do all certified Alexander Technique instructors see the correlation with pregnancy, or can work with you in pregnancy?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Michelle, I know you were doing some research earlier on the Alexander technique, and you know, here we are talking about childbirth and stuff, but there is another important element of another area of your life that can be improved with this technique. Yeah. So why don't you tell us more about that?
Well, I was reading quite a bit about the benefits of the Alexander technique in pregnancy, and I read a couple doctors actually commented they saw the most calm patients ever that had utilized the Alexander technique. And one of the patients or women that wrote about it said she also benefited in her sex life moving forward from using the Alexander technique. So it really does seem like it's such an awesome lifestyle investment, like you're saying, Sunny, not just for childbirth, but moving forward. And I know for myself, I really want to stay calm and in control and feel like my body's working for me so that my doctors feel more confident about the situation and feel they can trust my communication with them and that I can handle what's going on physically as well as emotionally.
There's a process, and you'll see this in toddlers. You'll see when they go to move, you know, at that age they have these big heads, you know. And what you'll see is their head will sort of float a little forward and up and just slightly nod a bit forward, and that'll get them racing across the room. They'll start walking or running like that, or they'll bend. And there's a way that all vertebrates are wired to move that's going on in the toddler, and that's that our neck releases, which allows our head to float a little bit, slightly nodded forward and up. That triggers a lengthening in our spine and a widening of our back. And that triggers a knee to release forward and a start of walking, or both knees and bending, or just standing easily. So that's wired in us to start movement. Animals do it. You see a cat or a dog, they're sitting and they hear a loud sound. You can just see their neck release.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Their head goes up, their back lengthens and widens so they can move easily at their joints and look around and be prepared. And we're wired for that. But we walk around in the opposite. We live our life sort of in the opposite, the startle pattern, where our neck tightens and our head compresses down into the back of our spine and our spine shortens and our back narrows and we stiffen our knees. And so this pattern of undoing that is just what naturally happens when you cancel that pattern of tightening. When you give a signal to cancel that, when you recognize it and cancel it, your neck will release and your head will float a little forward and up. It's kind of like our heads are, if they were football shaped and they were standing on end, you know, that kind of, the top would lengthen that way. People think of their heads going up, and often they bring their face up. So their whole head's going back and down. Anyway, but that nice float of the head, and that causes that whole trigger of the spine to just act in this natural coordination where it lengthens and your back widens and your breathing improves. So there is that, we teach that pattern to everyone.
Okay.
To how to do that, and you use that during labor, during delivery, or during anything, to get out of a chair, to start to speak, to move. Mm-hmm. And you start sort of seeing that, and you start seeing the opposite too quite often in people. So it makes it easy not to imitate that habit of tightening, mm-hmm. which we all tend to do. And it's so great for the kids if you can do that for your children, if you can actually have that easy use of your body. They pick that up instead of the other thing when they want to imitate and feel like mom.
Eileen, what resources would you recommend that our listeners check out? I mean, they're listening to this episode. Maybe they want some more information. Are there sites? Are there books? What would you recommend?
So on my site, I have some little instructional excerpts of videos. Okay. So just for free, you can just go. It's AlexanderTechniqueSanDiego.com, and that's all spelled out. Except for the dot, of course. and if you go to the video link, you can see those. And then there's also a book on pregnancy in Alexander. I brought it here.
Oh.
And it's by Alana Mockover and Angela and Jonathan Drake. There's a website you can go to look up a teacher in your area.
Oh, what's that?
It's amsatonline.org.
Okay, well, Eileen, thank you so much for being here today and for sharing all this information with us. If you guys would like more information about Eileen, she did mention her website, so we'll be sure to link to that on
thank
our
you.
Site. And we'll put your bio and stuff on our episodes page as well. So visit our website for more information.
Hi, Hi, Preggy Pals. My name is Vivian, Sales Associate at Agana Baby. Here to discuss some tips you want to consider when creating the perfect baby registry. The third tip is about what you should actually register for. We separate these into three categories: the needs, the things that are good to have, and the things you don't need but would like to have as a gift. There are certain things that are must-haves. This would be the needs category. They're the items you will need at some point while caring for your baby. These items include strollers, car seats, cribs, bottles, bibs, high chairs, rocking chairs, bathtubs, baby formula, and baby washcloth. Strollers and car seats and even cribs are high-cost items, which sometimes get passed on due to their purchase price. You should definitely include these as they are must-have items for new parents, and there is still a possibility they will be purchased for you. The other items in this category are very easily purchased, and you should always be included in the registry, as this will help you gather many of the items needed for a new baby. Next is the things that are good to have category. This usually includes things like walkers, bouncers, changing tables, as well as slings and carriers. These are items which are not necessary, but many people prefer to have them. It's good to have them on the registry because although you may not need them right away, there is a good chance that you will want it down the road. Finally, you have the things I don't need but would like to have as a gift category. This may be the expensive organic swaddle blanket, the special silicone bottle, or higher-end organic carrier you checked out on your last visit. Toys are also generally included in this category. Registries are a good place to put in some of the items you really like but may not reach for if you had to spend your own money. This really is where you get to say, "That's really cool, but I wouldn't buy that myself," and still actually get the item. For more tips on creating the perfect baby registry, as well as what to include in the registry, visit AganaBaby.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at AganaBaby. And be sure to listen to Preggy Pals for more great registry tips in the future.
All right, that's it for today's episode, except for members of the Preggy Pals Club. For more bonus content, we're going to practice an element of the Alexander technique with Eileen. So that's coming up here very shortly. Of course, we want to thank all of our listeners for listening to our show, our panelists here in the studio, as well as Michelle joining us over the phone. Thank you guys so much for contributing to our conversation today. Thanks for listening to Preggy Pals, Your Pregnancy Your Way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.